Kumlen and Ablak Tamura. We are up to Daf Ayin Ches Amid Aleph. And the Gemara begins, we're up to right in the middle of the page, which is Amar Av Yehuda Amar Shmuel. First of the line is Shmuel. And today is the Yahrzeit of Rameir Shapiro, the initiator of the Daf Yomi. So it's a special day. Amar Av Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Koisel Asara, if you have a wall that is 10 tfachim high, Tzorich Sulam, you need a ladder, Arbo, also you need a ladder that is 14 tfachim high, Lahatiroi, to turn the ladder into a considered a doorway, because we a ladder has to be on an angle, so we bring it out 4 tfachim, because you can't have it straight, and therefore, and then you slope it against the wall. So 10 tfachim high and 4 tfachim out, which is 14. Tesis doesn't like this pshat, it's a different pshat, but that's the general gist. Rabbi Yosef says you don't need it exactly 14. Afilu shloisha osur amashu, even 13 and a bit. Why? You take it out 4, you put it against the wall, so you only have 9, what do you call it? 9 and a bit, which is less than a tefach from the top of the wall, and that's good enough. And Abai says, I feel achados masher, even 11. You don't need 13 and a bit, even 11. Why? You take it out 4, that leaves you 7 and a bit. 7 and a bit is less than 3 tfachim from the top of the wall. We're talking about a 10 tfachim wall. And we learned before the concept of lavud, which bring it together. So therefore, it's as if it reached the top of the wall. Abuni Yeshua, I feel a shiva masher, even. He says, even 7 and a bit. Why? Because he holds like Rab, that a ladder doesn't have to be in an angle. A ladder can be upwards, so you can be flush against the wall. And even though it's not so easy to walk it up, but the fact is you could walk it up, that is good enough. So you have 7 and a bit, and the wall is 10 fucking high. Perfect. Omer Rav, says Rav, Sulam, a ladder, Zokov, Mimayit. So this is what he's basing it on. He's basing it on the opinion of Rab that even a ladder that is like 180 degrees is still considered still accessible, enables you to climb over the wall, and therefore it's good enough. This is good enough. It's a tradition that I have learned, I heard from my Rebbe's, but I don't understand the exact reasoning. Why? Because it's pretty difficult to climb it up. Rabba doesn't know. We have Rashi in a few places, you know, talks about if his real name was Rav and Abba was a name of a demon, or the other way around. But or the other way around, that Rav's real name was Abba, and Rav was a term of respect. Taima the Hamilsi, he doesn't know the reason why. Midi the Havi, what we learned yesterday, Itzba Gabi Itzba, one platform on top of another platform, which is both exactly the same dimensions. So it's pretty hard to get to the higher platform, and yet we learned that if it's less than 3 tfachim between the two, they combine and so on and so forth. And so therefore, as long as it's accessible, it doesn't matter how difficult it is, it's still considered an entranceway. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Amar Abchiya, the kolim shebebavel. He says, if you have pieces of palm trees of bavel that are played next to the wall, like a little mound of it, before we learn that whatever you put there, it has to be a permanent fixture. But these decolon, these palm trees of bubble that you cut down in small pieces and you build a mound, and now if you climb that mound, you can climb right over the wall, it's good enough. Ain't sitting keva, you don't even have to fix it into the ground, and why not? And even though the chayda, it has a din of a keli, in theory it can be removed on Shabbos, because you can use it as a chair, because it's pretty strong. Nevertheless, kevei don kevasim, because it's so heavy, people generally will not take it away. Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Yisrael, so above the ladders and bavel, ainot tzichin keva, also do not require to be fixed in the ground. My time of kevei don kevasim, that the weight of it will leave it there. Manda amasum, the one that says ladders, koshkin to kol, which is even heavier. Surely the pieces of palm. The palm tree. Mandama the Kulin palm tree, because it's very heavy. I assume as ladder is low, maybe because they can be removed, it's not considered as a permanent fixture, and maybe not considered an entrance. Rabbi Yisrael asked Rabbi a question. What happens? You have a sulam mekan, the sulam mekan, you have ladders, two ladders side by side going to the wall, both of them are less than 4 tefachim. Each ladder, let's say, was only 1 tefach wide, right? You have, so, and your steps are on the ladder, the rung, so you can climb up. But the koshin be'emtza, you have straw right in the middle. Let's say you have straw in the middle. and therefore your rungs will be the straw in the middle. You have the ladders on both sides, and then in the middle you have straw that you climb up the straw. Is that considered a ladder, an access way, or not? Says the Gemara. You can't place the weight of your body on it because you put your feet there, you'll fall right down. And because generally when you walk with the rungs that are in the middle, not on the sides, and therefore it's not an entrance way. What about the other way around? What about koshin mikan v'koshin mikan v'sulam? So you have a very narrow ladder in the middle, and then you have straw to widen it to four tefachim, and the straw will use more to put your hands on there. Your legs will go on the rungs that are on the ladder in the middle, and you're using the straw to hold on, to anchor, or to, you know, give you balance. What's it in then? In this case, the weight of your body, your legs can climb up, so it's considered an entrance. What about chokak lahashlim bekoisel? Let's say you have a very narrow ladder. Remember we learned before that an opening has to be four tefachim wide. You have a narrow ladder, let's say two tefachim wide. And if you then etched out in the wall on both sides of the ladder a tefach of the, what do you call it, to make it, and you make grooves in the wall in order that you can walk up the ladder, what happens then is become, how high does it have to be? Do we need to make sure that it's equal, the wall is, it gets wider with a ladder? Amalei said to him, Asada, you need it up to 10 tefachim. You need that the first 10 tefachim of the ladder should be at least 10 tefachim wide. And then it's a valid ladder. And Rashi says that even if it goes in much higher, it's still good enough. Now Rashi doesn't say that you need that then from that height to the top of the wall should be less than 10 tefachim. He just says, Rashi says that the kozel can be tuva, no matter how high, less than what, we don't really care. As long as the ladder continues, and the initial, seems to Rashi that as long as the initial climb, you had the width of four tefachim, and then the ladder continues even though it's narrower, and you continue going up, and the wall might be another 10, 15, 20 tefachim, maybe it's even good enough. It's not clear from Rashi. Says the Gemara further. So it's interesting. So according to Rashi, as long as the ladder can get to the top of the wall, even though it's not four tefachim wide, and the base, the 10 tefachim on the bottom, is four tefachim wide, so you can get yourself started, it's good enough. Taisa disagrees. He says that from the top of the ladder to the top of the wall has to be less than 10 tefachim, with the width, including the width of the wall, like the grooves that you made. Let's say the entire it's no ladder, everything you did was make grooves in the wall. What's the din then? How high do you have to make in the wall? Amalei said, and how high in with a width of four tefachim? He said, for that, Amalei kamasai, the height of the wall, the entire height of the wall has to be four tefachim wide. What's the difference? I don't understand. You have a proper ladder, but it's only two tefachim wide, and you have to make grooves in the wall. It's enough to make 10 tefachim in the wall, and that's good enough. But if the entire ladder is built into the wall, in other words, you make the grooves in the wall, it has to be four tefachim wide all the way to the top. What's the difference? Amalei said it very simple. That hasa mistalekizle. Hachala mistalekizle. Over there we have a proper ladder, and you just need to add to the width. Then, as long as the 10 tefachim is wide, 4 tefachim, then you can continue climbing on the narrow ladder. And that's good enough. But over here, it's not easy. The whole climb is not easy. You're climbing in the wall, inside the wall itself, which is pretty straight, is not so easy. Therefore, it has to be all the way up, 4 tefachim wide. So you have a number of questions. Rabbi Yosef is asking his peer, his colleague, Rabba. Rabba was Rosh Yeshiva then. Osu li'ilon sulu mahu. What happens if your ladder is the tree? What's it did then? I remember trees muktzah on Shabbos. And we had a whole discussion before, an argument in Rebbe Yechum, if you place your eid of tchumen on a tree. Because remember, the eid of tchumen has to be accessible to you between twilight. Rebbe has an opinion that all Isur and Rabbanon are suspended when it comes to Bein Hashmash's twilight. That means that if it's sitting on a tree, it's accessible to you at twilight. Afterwards, it isn't, but who cares? And the Chachamim say no, that even during twilight, we treat it exactly like Shabbos, and it's inaccessible because Osam Adirabanu. So his question is, if you have a tree, use a tree as a ladder, is that considered an opening that you can pass things over the wall and so on? Even though we know you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos,
But in theory, it's accessible, so you have an opening between the two. You can make an area between the two courtyards, and you can start throwing things to each other.
And my question will be to Boy the Rebbe, whether you follow Rebbe's opinion that the Tchum Shabbos is all right, and to Boy the Rabbana, whether you follow the Rabbana's opinion. And it goes as follows. To Boy the Rebbe, my question is even based on Rebbe. At Kalakom Rebbe Hassan, you know my Rebbe says over there that you're Tchumin. You put your food down there and it's on a branch of a tree. And during twilight, it's awesome at the Rabbana, but that's all right because there's no Eastern Rabbana in twilight. Because he says, "Kol davar shemushim shmos anything which is asad rabbanu legozru alav that we didn't decree." Hani mili bein hashmoshes. He only has a window of twilight, and when it comes to Tchum Shabbos, that's all we care about. We don't care what happens afterwards. If it gets eaten afterwards, blows away. Who cares? As long as during twilight, that food was there. Avakuli yom aloy, but the rest of the day, that beholds, it's inaccessible. And your ladder, your opening has to be accessible the whole Shabbos, so therefore it's no good. Perhaps I can argue just the other way around. I feel the Rabbanu, in the Rabbanu say that it's inaccessible as far as Tchumen is. Pischehu, over here, the tree makes it accessible to go to the other side. So theoretically, you can get to the other side of the fence and go to the other courtyard. Novos, v'ad Yehudu Revila. There's a side issue here. There's like a lion standing by the doorway. What happens if you have a doorway and there's a lion standing there? So physically, you can't cross because you're scared of the lion. But the doorway is there. Are you going to say there's no door between you and the next courtyard? Of course there is. The door is there. There's a side reason, a side issue that causes a problem. So maybe the same thing over here also. Maybe the fact that it's accessible to go next door, you have a tree right there. The problem is only that the laws of Shabbos don't allow you to use it. It's like a lion standing there. So maybe it's still considered an opening. That's question number one. Next question. Yeah. You know, the question is, Osula Asheda Sulam. You have a tree. An Asheda tree is a tree that's used for Avodah Zarah. It's a tree that from the beginning was planted for the sake of Avodah Zarah. And it's also Bahanoi, can have any benefit from such a tree. Mau. That's my question. Tiboy le Rabbi Yehuda, my question will be whether you follow Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says if you can place an Erev inside a cemetery, even though anything in the cemeteries you don't have any Hanoi from, yet you're allowed to, the Erev is a valid Erev, but Chumen again, extending your walking, let's say, in the east or the west, is valid. Why is it valid? And the reason why it's valid is because mitzvahs are not meant to have hana, and you don't do an Erev Tchumen only if you want to go to a mitzvah, you want to hear a drasha from your rabbi or something. That's the only time you're allowed to make an Erev Tchumen. So therefore, he says you're allowed to put it even in a cemetery. And Tiboy Rabbanu will argue. I'll explain my question. Tiboy Rabbi Yehuda, at Kanak Rabbi Yehuda, maybe why Rabbi Yehuda all day by Erev Tchumen? That it's all right. The Mukna Liknas Bayis, you're allowed to purchase, Bayis means Erev Tchumen, because the idea is you're shifting your place of residence 2,000 amas to your west, because that's what you want to walk in extended by another 2,000 amas. So you put food there, it's as if you bought your house there. So when does Rabbi Yehuda say that you're allowed to purchase your house, or build your house, or make your house on for Shabbos be'isuri hano? Over there in the cemetery, the problem is it is also b'hano, and since you're doing it for a mitzvah not meant to have any benefit, so it's all right. Elohas over there, because the boss of the Kanal Eder, once the Eder was purchased, once you've halachically acquired that place, twilight, after twilight, you care if it disappears? No, the cemetery has no personal benefit to you, so therefore you're not deriving any benefit. But over here, you want the entrance the entire Shabbos, so you're benefiting even after Ben Hashmoshes, and since you're benefiting the entire Shabbos, maybe an Asherah tree is also Bahano, and that's why you're not allowed to. And also, when you're joining together two courtyards, you're doing it for a mitzvah, you're doing it for convenience. And therefore, and you're having Hano from this tree, Asherah tree, for your personal convenience. Maybe it should be forbidden. I can argue the other way around. The Fila Rabbon, even Rabbon. Pischu, the fact is, even though Taki, you're right, you don't have any benefit from a Sheira tree, but there's a tree there. There's an entrance there. It's no different than the case of a lion, that you have an entrance, you can't use it because the lion is stopping it. Here also, it's as if the tree is one thing, and the fact that it's an Asherah is something else. So as far as the tree is concerned, it gives you access. There's a reason why you can't use it, because there's a side issue. There's an Asherah there. So the Ayu de Revila, there's like a lion lying over there. So therefore, it's different.
Amalei, he said to him, he ruled, Rabba said, Ilan Mutter, the case of the tree, I would allow, and I would agree with you on what, that the tree is accessible, even though it's Mukta, it's accessible, it's only a side issue, that it's Mukta. Mukta is a side issue, Mukta is like an addition. Abasheda Asura. I would say that Asheda is Asur, because Asheda itself intrinsically is forbidden to have any Anor. It's as if you have no access whatsoever. Masur Chizav, Chizav agrees. He says, Adrab, I would argue maybe the other way around. Ila tree she'isa Shabbos going away. What are you trying to do? You're trying to be able to carry on Shabbos from your courtyard to another courtyard. But this tree is mukta because Shabbos does not allow. The same thing you're trying to do, that same thing, Shabbos is preventing you. So it's not a side issue, that is the issue. Even though it's a different aspect of Shabbos, you're trying to carry from one chas to another, and this the problem here is mukta, but the fact is they're both to do with Shabbos. So therefore, you're not allowed to use it, so that if you have no access. Nitzah is asr. But Asher, over here, Asher, you're trying to enable you to walk to the courtyard on Shabbos, and there's a problem of Avodah Zarah. It's a separate issue altogether. She isa davar achar goyin lo, has unrelated to Shabbos. So maybe the fact is you have access way. Lo nitzmer. That's how Rav Chizah holds. Itman ami lun ki asr, Ravin Rav Lazar. Ravin came, he said, Rav Lazar, Vamir, others say, Amr Avu, Rav Yechon, Rabu, Kei Nei Rav Yechon. Kol she isa Shabbos goyin lo, they hold. Rav Yechon disagrees. He says, with Rabba, he says that if you're trying to create something on Shabbos, and it's another aspect of Shabbos that's preventing you, also it is forbidden. For something else, mutter. In other words, they're basically Rabba and Rabbi Yechon are arguing, how do we view Shabbos? Is it, is Shabbos one nekuda? It's one idea? Or is Shabbos 39 different ideas? Every malach is a different idea, and together they all make up Shabbos. Rabbi Yechon holds it's all one nekudas. I don't care if it's mukta, I don't care if it's carrying, it's all the same thing Shabbos. So therefore, Shabbos does not allow you to carry, so Shabbos tells you there's no access here. And Rabbi says, no, Shabbos is made up of a whole different parts, and together they form Shabbos. So therefore, this is mukta, that's one thing. This is carrying, which is totally something else. And therefore, as far as carrying is concerned, you have an access way. Mukta is a separate issue altogether. So they're arguing how we view the entire Shabbos. Okay, back to the Gemara. Mishnah. Let's say you have a chritz, you have a ridge, shebein beis chatzedes. You have a ridge between two courtyards. Amak yud, that's 10 tefachim deep. The ruch of dalet is 4 tefachim wide. So it completely divides the two properties. Is ma'arvin shnaim, so the two properties there, neighboring properties, each one makes their own independent ediv. The ein ma'arvin echad, they cannot combine the two properties together because you have a divide. We learned many times, if you have a wall 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, or a ridge, that is 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim deep, there's no difference, exactly the same thing. Okay, what happens? Afilu mole kash. Let's say you filled the ridge with straw. Kash etevin, you filled it with different kinds of straw, so basically you filled it up. So do we say now the ground is level and therefore it's considered as if it's one thing? Or mole offer a traders. What happened? Even if you filled it with kasha tevin, it's not considered filling. Why not? Because you leave it there for a while, but you'll take it away soon. You need it for straw to start a fire or whatever, make cement. And because you're going to take it away, it's as if it's not there at all. But what happens if you filled it up with something else? What about mole off? You filled it with sand, extraneous or pebbles. And here there's a possibility, usually you leave it there, and therefore maybe it becomes part of the ground. It filled the hole. Then ma'arvin echad. Then it's considered one property. In fact, there's no longer a divide. So you can't make two separate erevin, even though you think you're two separate courtyards. Since you're all on a level field, there's nothing dividing, it's considered one. So when it comes to sand, we consider it as if you're leaving it there and it becomes part of the ground. When it comes to straw, we're saying it's as if you're going to definitely remove it, and therefore it's not part, it doesn't fill the hole. What about Nosan Olav Nessa? You placed on it a board, Shiroch HaVavatvachim, that the board is wide, 4 tefachim. It means over here that the board is long, 4 tefachim, and you put it according to the width of that hole, you can cross over it. Ovechein, likewise, beis gizuz trois, two porches, zu keneged zu. Big machlek is a shenim, how we understand zu keneged zu. Normally you translate zu keneged zu to opposite each other, opposite sides of the street. Rashi seems to be learning that on the same side of the street, but one house next to the next house. Is ma'arvin shnaim. Again, if you want to carry on these porches, there's two separate, and you'll have the right measurement, there's two separate porches, and you can each one has to make their own little ediv. V'im rotzev, they want to, ma'arvin echad. If they want to, they can make one ediv out of it, if they want to. We'll soon see later, yeah. Because if these boards allow you to carry from one house or chatzit to the next one. What about pochas mekan? What about let's say if these boards are less than 4 tefachim wide? We're talking about 4 tefachim wide. But if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, then ma'arvin shnayim ma'echa. Then there's no there's not they don't join together, and they're two separate things. So the way Rashi explains it is these balconies or these porches are sticking over on top of a shusharabim, the right side by side, and they're coming out of two houses or two properties, and you put a bridge between the two, you put a board between the two to bridge together these porches. If it's 4 tefachim wide, so therefore, it's like you have an entrance, you can walk through. Less than 4 tefachim, they don't join together. Says the Gemara, let's start talking about the difference between straw and sand. Says the Gemara, if it's heaven lechayitz, you're telling me that straw is not considered a fillin? We learn clearly elsewhere that matbein shebein shtei chatzedes, if you have straw between two courtyards, if it's 10 tefachim high, we're talking about now a mechitza. We're not talking about a hole, filling a hole, which is what Amish is talking about. We're talking about you have a wall or you have a mound of straw that's 10 tefachim high, and it's 10 tefachim high. Is a din is ma'arvin shnayim, it divides, it bisects the two properties. And it's no longer considered one. You just said straw is nothing, it's not a filler, because you can take it away, so why should it be considered a wall? Omar Abai, there's a difference between a wall and a filler. Why? Because l'inyan mechitza, as far as the wall is concerned, even though tomorrow you'll take it away, kuliyam l'pligi to have a mechitza. The fact is, right now you have a wall, and that's enough. We learned even before an animal could be a wall, even though tomorrow you'll walk away, but now it could be a mechitza. Aval l'inyan chatzitza, when it comes to be a filler and to fill the ridge that you have between you, and to treat it as if it's completely sealed, if you leave it there openly, if you say, I'm going to leave it there, then it becomes part of the hole, and therefore it fills it, it's no longer a hole. And if not, it's not considered a chatzitza. Different rules of chatzitza and mechitza. Says the Gemara, Mali Ofi, filled it with sand. So there's a difference between sand. You tell me if you fill it, it seems to be in the same case. Whatever the case by straw is not a filler, when it comes to sand, it is a filler. Says the Gemara, it sounds from here, the Mishnah doesn't say by sand and you placed it there and you had in mind to leave it there permanently, or you said clearly I'm leaving it there. You just put sand in there and it's considered a filler. Says the Gemara, fill it with stomach. It sounds from here, even if we don't know what your intention is, if you take it away tomorrow or not, at the moment it's a filler. So that's a question. We know that if there's a house and there's a mace inside the house and you filled the house with sand and with pebbles. Remember, in order to be a gag, a roof, you have to have a space of a tefach. So then the tumah remains in the house. But if you fill the house as less than a tefach, and if there's less than a tefach space between the corpse and the roof, then we say that the tumah is by kas, the tumah breaks through and goes up to the heaven. You filled it with sand and with pebbles. So now the house is full. It says over there, Bayish Melua Tevin, Oitzeraitis, Ubitloy. It says clearly, when do we say that it's considered a filler? Only if you expressly said, I plan to leave it there. Then we say, oh, okay, it's part of the floor, it's part of the house now, and therefore there's less space than the tefach, the tumah breaks through and goes up to the sky. Otherwise, no. So we see clearly from here, when it comes to sand, you have to expressly say, I plan to leave it there in order for it to be a filler. So we're asking a question from tumah on Shabbos. Bitla'in, seems clearly from there, only if you expressly said that I am being mevatleh, that I'm leaving it there, then we say it becomes part of the ground. But like bitla'in, if you didn't say it, it doesn't happen. No, the author of that mission of Olas is Rabbi Yosi. The author is Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Yosi therefore holds differently. He holds when it comes to sand, you have to expressly say it, to mevatleh, to nullify it. But when it comes to our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yosi. Our Mishnah says clearly, that by sand, even though you didn't say I'm going to nullify it, nevertheless, it becomes bottle. Says Rabbi Yosi, if Rabbi Yosi, if Chasham min Levi, we actually learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yosi holds just the opposite. What do you mean holds the opposite? The Tanya will in the Braisa. Rabbi Yosi says when it comes to tevin, it comes to straw, the ain osid lefanoise. When it comes to straw, that we know for a fact that he plans to leave it there for a long time. But he didn't say so clearly. He just plans to leave a long time. Harehu kistam offer. straw that we know he plans to leave there is treated just like regular sand that we don't know what his plans are, and generally speaking by sand, we'll assume that he planned to leave it there. So we see Rabbi Yossi holds that stamp sand, you do plan to leave it there. And if so, how come in the case of Oholos, in the case of Tumah, it says you had to clearly say, I plan to leave the sand there, when Rabbi Yossi holds, when it comes to sand, stamp sand, you plan to leave there. In fact, Tevin, that we know you plan to leave there, is treated like sand that we don't know what your intentions are, but as soon as we see sand, we automatically assume that you plan to leave there. What about offer sand? The osilif is sand that we know for a fact that you plan to remove from there, that you do plan to remove from there. Harehu, then it's like stam tevin, like stam straw, which even if we don't know your intentions, we automatically assume you plan to remove it. The lid bottle is not bottle. So it's not the Biasi. The Biasi holds clearly that stamp sand, you do leave there. Not like it says by Tumah that you have to expressly say, I want a Mevatlet. You're right. The other way around. The Biasi is the author of our mission here. Our mission that says by sand, we automatically assume it's going to remain there, automatically without hearing anything from you, is the Biasi who says the same thing when it comes everywhere else. When it comes to sand, you plan to leave it there. Or even though we don't know your intentions. And straw, that we know your intentions, that you plan to leave it there is like sand that we don't know your intentions. Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua, Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua says, Tumah Ashabis Karamis. What are you asking a question? I don't know why I have to say our mission is one particular opinion or another opinion. You're asking a question from the case of Tumah. We over there, we see by a corpse in the house that you have to know, he has to clearly say, I plan to leave the sand there. To our case of the laws of Shabbos, where our mission seems to say, if you fill the ridge with sand, even though you didn't say what it is, it's a ksira filler. I don't see how you can answer two questions. Hanach is a Shabbos, but come, leave alone Shabbos. Da filu aniki, even a wallet, let's say you have a wallet full of money, and on Shabbos, definitely you're going to leave it there over Shabbos because it's muktzah, even though nobody leaves a wallet there. Namivatlin, people will mevatl. So therefore, when it comes to straw, people generally use it for animal feed, so they're going to take it out. When it comes to sand, as far as Shabbos is concerned, you're definitely going to leave it there without telling us anything. Why wouldn't you? And therefore, because it's muktzah to move rocks and sand, you're going to leave it there. So as far as the laws of Shabbos are concerned, even though the reason why you're leaving it there is not because you want to leave it there, it's because the halacha says so, it's good enough. And therefore, you're going to leave it there. Mashenke, when it comes to Tumah, you can remove it. As long as we don't know that you plan to leave it there, we're scared you're going to remove it. So this opinion says that even though the reason why you're not removing a Shabbat is because of a side issue, because the laws of Muktzah, that's enough to make it a filler. This is the argument we had before the Abba Chizda. You know, if the laws regarding if it's considered a side issue or not, like Muktzah. Rav Ashi says, Bayis Achodesh Karamish, you're asking a question from a hole, and regarding by Tumah, it's a house, you're filling a house. When it comes to a hole, if you put sand in there, a hole is meant to be filled. So if you have a ridge and now you put a sand, what does it tell us? You plan to leave the sand there, because that's normally what you do. When you have a hole or a ridge, you fill it up. But a house, who puts sand inside a house? If you put sand in there, it must be temporary. You're eventually remove it. Therefore, as long as you haven't expressly said you plan to leave it, they will assume you're going to remove it. And that's why it's not bottled. Okay, let's go to the mission already. It says the Gemara further. Nosan olav nesef shereichav dalad, you place on it across the ridge a board that's four tefachim wide, which means, and you put that according to length so you can cross the ridge. We're talking about that you put it in a way that you can cross the bridge for the length of four tefachim. Avala orkid, the length, I feel a kosher nami, but in the length, we don't care how wide it is, shahare miyatim medalad. In other words, even if the board is only one tefach wide, but four tefachim long is good enough. Why? Because if the entire ridge is four tefachim wide, and you took this board and you put it instead of across the ridge, you put it on the side of the ridge, right? So you still have to leapfrog to go across the ridge, let's say. But what you did was you achieved that you narrowed that particular area less than four tefachim wide. If it's less than four tefachim wide, it's not considered a ridge that breaks up the two properties. So if it's less than four tefachim, that's good enough. says what about what called? So it's no longer, remember, to have a doorway, to have an opening between two properties, you need it to be within 10 tefachim, but also it has to be 4 tefachim wide. And you just made it that it should be less than 4 tefachim wide.
if you have two balconies or porches, zug keneged zug, and where Rashi learns they're both side by side. They're both side by side. So the idea was by when you make that board, just so I get it back for you, made that board four tefachim long and you put it on the side of the ridge, and now you have a pesach. You have an opening because it's four tefachim long, and you can walk across because it's less than four tefachim wide, that section, and that's enough to be considered because it's easy just to walk across. So you have now an opening between the two properties, and therefore you can share it as if it's one chatzah. Anyways, I have two porches side by side. He said this. Well, we say that you can have two porches only if they're like parallel to each other. But if they're not parallel to each other, then if it's it cannot be a porch. Let's say one house is, let's say, recessed, or one house is jutting out. And even though they might be on the same level, but they're not, you know, right next to each other. The one is sticking, one house is sticking out a few feet into the street, another house is recessed back. So they're not really like sort of parallel to each other. Then you, even though you're bored, it cannot join together. They're not considered one. That's how Rashi learns. And others learn, you know, opposite side of the street, but they're not, you know, one is raised higher than this one. So again, Amar Hodam at Zukanegazu in. Zu shaloi keneged zu loy, but if they're not keneged zu, you cannot do. So, like Rashi learns, one is sticking out to Shusrab more than the other one. What about zu lemail mazunami leamra, one above the other? Elishiyesh beizel shoshtvachim. When do we say one is higher than the other one? You cannot join the two together if there's more than three tvachim of height, the difference between the two. Avol ein bein zel zelas, if one is raised higher than another one, but the disparity is less than three tefachim, then gizus tera akumi, you can put a board in a cross, we'll just say that it's a crooked porch, but it's still accessible, and therefore you can still be considered one if you bridge the two together with a sloping board, and you can make one ative on these two porches. Okay, that finishes today's Gemara, and we'll continue tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem.